With time comes perspective, and with perspective comes looking back at various ideas that I've had over the years about the subjects I care about, and wondering if things have changed, if the processes and technology and outlook of the world necessitates me saying something different than what I've always been saying for years. Such that it is that I've been thinking a lot about something I call data dirigibles, massive collections of data. And in a few words, I've decided they're the future. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Jeff Atwood, Daniel Boyd, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. When I was working on textfiles.com way back in my early teen years, preparing for a world I didn't even know fully would exist, it was just a collection of floppy disks, cases where I was putting together files downloaded from bulletin boards, from CompuServe, from whatever I could get my hands on, and compiling them as one might do a library or an archive. Each file having an extension, back when extensions didn't mean much, and using those as pointers to the subject header of the files. .hum for humor, .phk for freaking, .hac for hacking. From this, ultimately, I had dozens of floppies representing hundreds, later thousands of files, from all over the country. After doing all of that, when I finally put up my bulletin board system, it was pretty trivial to load those files in, reread them again, and write short 60-character capsule descriptions of what each file was. Something in me doesn't just appreciate doing this, but enjoys doing it, enjoys going through file after file, creating a small description of what's inside, and leaving that as a breadcrumb for others to find. As I created sections on my bulletin board system, I knew in many ways that I was creating that ideal library, that archive that I was dreaming of in my earlier years. This led, ultimately, to textfiles.com being a full website, a full collection of these files and files that people had been giving to me, creating this site as it lives to today. It's incredible to me that there are people for whom textfiles.com has been something that's existed their entire life, and they think of me as some sort of shadowy, unusual figure that created it. And they range from ecstatic to bewildered to simply happy that I'm a real person. Doubly so that I give thoughts about what I'm doing. But there's one aspect to textfiles.com that I've touched on before, but I think really comes into play here. At every juncture, at every opportunity, I've tried to make it really easy to pull away all of the data, to never meet me, to never know really who I am, but to derive your own collection that you build from as fast as possible. Since almost the beginning, there's been a link at the bottom of each section allowing you to download the entire collection as an archive, as one singular file that you can pull in and then play with on your own, redistribute, or find your own meanings in going through. This downloaded all approach to some of the archive comes from my own experience. I remember so much frustration when I would encounter any sort of collection that had weird gatekeeping built into it. It's been decades, but some people might remember file tokens, cases where different bulletin board systems made you post or come back at various times or even pay money to get something called tokens. There would be some sort of ersatz economics that would result in you having just enough credits to then be able to download from the site. The administrators of these bulletin boards and later websites could always claim that this was necessary to conserve resources, that if you didn't put some sort of rate limiter on it, people would abuse it to dust. Take everything, leave nothing. And I get it. I get that urge. It's the loss aversion built into all of us. We hear that something has been taken. And even if we hadn't thought of it as something even within the realm of our ownership before, we miss it. We are sad. We resist the idea of it being taken from us, even though its value was never on our minds before. But I come from the discipline of the leech, of the person who enters a space full of resources, pulls down copies, because they are copies, and tries to take a full snapshot of everything there to ensure that the data itself is never at risk, that there's at least another place, another geographical and personally contained place that has this work. People hated leeches. They hated the idea that somebody would come on to a bulletin board system, tie up the phone lines, download everything, say nothing, and then leave. And as time has gone on, I've started to wonder why that was the case. Why was that so terrible? If you had somebody who was willing to spend the time to ensure that there was a copy somewhere else that they were taking away without removing anything of yours, why was that bad? I understand some of the concepts behind resources, that the bulletin board systems would only have one phone line, and if somebody was tying it up, downloading everything, sure, that was probably really frustrating for somebody who was spending money on a phone line and wanting to grow their user base. But why was that happening? What about it needed to be fixed? To me, I look at that whole situation now, and my first urge is to say, what could I have done to make that better? Get a second phone line and a dedicated machine whose entire job was to have people call into it and download materials. Maybe organizing social events where people could have a copy party and all of the data would be transferred between us. Maybe even a mailing service where floppy disks could be transferred between different people in the same way that you could write and share with somebody else your love of music and send different cassettes across the country and maybe the world. Maybe we needed a little bit more of that for floppy disks. All this to say that as different economic concerns faded away in the wake of the World Wide Web, it was immediately my first urge with textfiles.com to make it as simple as possible to grab as many of the files as possible, as quickly as possible. This all came to a head when I joined the Internet Archive and I had access to create any sort of large object I wanted to, and I created the TextFiles Time Capsule, a textfiles.com archive of the entire site so that you could download it from the Internet Archive as many times as you wanted. That collection has seen many, many downloads. How many of them are sitting on a hard drive or a collected cloud storage and just sitting there waiting for a moment? I'll never know. I don't keep the logs. But I do know that at least a few people decided this was something they needed. And by doing that, they're preserving the history of bulletin boards. It's no longer a matter of whether the textfiles.com server stays up. It's not dependent on me, an individual, to keep this history accessible and alive. It's shared. Ideally, somebody could put textfiles.com up immediately after my copy or I, went down. So, where I am now is I have this idea floating in my head about something I'm calling a data dirigible, a blimp, a huge floating airship, incalculably large, something filled with megabytes, gigabytes, even terabytes of data, arranged pretty well, never perfectly. I've discovered that when you try to create a perfectly aligned archive with every single piece completely described, completely properly put away, you'll never get it done. Instead, a large clump, a huge piece of history. Because in the modern world, where things have changed, kilobytes get forgotten, megabytes get lost, and even gigabytes can be misplaced. But if you fill up a huge archive with perhaps lightly adjacent information and files and provide them to people, they get it. The USB stick filled to the brim with interesting and unusual things assembled with care by a person to the best of their ability within a reasonable time, in some ways, future-proofs that data. Maybe somebody puts hundreds and hundreds of gaming magazine PDFs together, enough that a person who wanted to look up most reviews of a video game from the eras covered could find it with a text search inside of the PDFs and putting them on the various readers we have for all of the different machines out there. A kind of ersatz library, depending on search technology and the fact that it's so easy to put things onto a drive or a USB stick and give it to others. I've started to really come around that I think this is the future. One of my favorite reviews of the Internet Archive in a larger context said that the future of the Internet Archive is to be a directory on somebody's massive multi-petabyte drive inside of a directory called /Internet Archive. I would actually say one day we're probably going to have a /Internet. Maybe a /Internet 2000 to 2050, where all of that data exists and machinery that we already see can analyze and return information from very quickly will be your guide, your pilot, your captain sailing through this contained sea of data. As part of the Big Chungus project, where I was trying to find the largest clumps of data on the Internet Archive, I found many, many examples where people knew instinctually the best thing to do was to thematically put together massive amounts of somewhat alike data. Not just one game, but every game for that platform. Not just one manual, but every manual for every type of what that manual was for. Sometimes they've been highly curated, like the Commodore 64 tape archive, where not only are they casting their net wide to every title they can find, but casting it deep, creating a database to find things, digitizing the inserts and the cassettes themselves, adding value along the way, and then releasing, every once in a while, a new update, ensuring it doesn't just live on a few people's hard drives for the day that they want to announce it. They've already announced it. They've already released many versions. They're going to keep doing it. Sometimes I find somebody has simply gone around and collected a bunch of websites and HTML and just piled it together into an archive file and uploaded it. At the archive, I don't call them data dirigibles. I call them software capsules. Capsules almost like time capsules, combined archives of program and data history that will potentially persist many, many years past the events that they capture. In my heart, in the present day, I think this is where we are going. Somewhat okay clumpages of data, of like-minded programs, of PDFs, of sound and video, all living together, perhaps uncomfortably, as one big set. And people trading different sets, obviously complaining about the quality of this set or that approach. But in the end, this tension-filled disagreement of what the best way to launch the dirigibles are comes a chance, a hope that they'll be preserved, enjoyed, and a part of many lives to come. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bikoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. I've been playing around in the Software Capsules collection, and at the Internet Archive, I have a colleague, his name is Ace. Ace and I are riding high. I'm the old grizzled cowboy, and Ace is the brand new, bright-eyed ranch hand, and we are moving through the stacks of material at the archive and building up sorting and collections and whatever else we can do to make the place easier to work with. And we've been working on the software capsules. We are discovering treasures, not all of them properly described, not all of them really easy to find. And I think we're moving the needle in a positive direction. The download counts tell us these are wanted, just like the files that I would put up on textfiles.com. It's about getting it to the audience, to the collectors, to the people who are impulsively grabbing it, and letting them continue the story in the way that they want to tell it.